Well, our connection for today, made over the past several nights in the city of Rochester and in cities across this country. Of course, we have seen the protests, peaceful and urgent. We've seen the anger and the pain. And in many places, we have seen the protests depart and the chaos set in. Mayor Lovely Warren says this city was baited by people who don't care about Black Lives Matter or progress. They wanted an excuse to do damage. And the mayor says, we fell for it, but we must not fall for it again. Where do we go from here? What kind of real progress and change is achievable? Our guests are helping lead that conversation today. Daniel Ponder is Diversity and Inclusion Officer for the Monroe County Public Defender's Office and a musician with new music in her own right that feels all too timely. Hello, Daniel. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me, Evan.
Jonathan Nithketha is with us, an actor, performance educator with Impact Interactive, and an adjunct professor. Jonathan, welcome back to the program to you.
Thanks so much.
And welcome to Lavelle Lewis, a man I met this weekend who instantly inspired me. He's a self-employed real estate investor and was a volunteer organizer for Rochester's weekend cleanup efforts. Saw a lot of passion and organization. And Lavelle, thank you for that work, and thanks for taking time for the program today.
Wow, thank you. That's the best introduction I think I've had by anybody, so I appreciate it.
Well, why don't you tell me what you felt that those moments were like yesterday as you helped lead what became hundreds, if not a couple thousand people, trying to clean up the city of Rochester. What did you think, Lavelle?
Well, I mean, just like everybody, you know, for most folks that was watching, you know, Saturday, and trust me, I wholeheartedly understand, you know, the arguments and the resentment and the feeling and the passion that came from that, you know, that protest. And then just hearing the next day, just assessing the damage, I was really just shocked. You know, I couldn't really grasp the magnitude of what happened. But overall, you know, just like anybody, when your body or your system is shocked, you spring into action. It's just, you know, it's just a testament to human life and humanity and what it takes to be a good person, a good citizen. So I just did what anybody else would do. I kind of followed the JFK, you know, ask not what your country can do for you, what can you do for your country? What can you do for your community? And that should be, that, you know, I think that should be, you know, driven across the board to everyone. It doesn't matter what color you are, you know, it's just, what can you do for someone else?
Let me ask you, Lavelle, and I'll ask all three of our guests to weigh in on this. And as I do this, let me say to the listeners that I'm going to do my best this week to the extent that I can, to recognize that I have a microphone, but I'm going to try to get out of the way and let others lead conversations. And there's going to be a wide range of views here. We know that some of the organizers of the demonstrations this weekend put out a news release today. They're calling for disinvestment of police in Rochester. And there is a movement calling for police abolition entirely. There is a wide range of views on that. Now, Pew Research finds that Black Americans tend not to, in wide numbers, support that. But who knows if that changes? I don't know. I think there is a range of opinions on how to make reforms, how you achieve that. But Lavelle Lewis, I'll start with you. The governor saying just moments ago that his concern is that the political actors who don't want any change are going to use some of the looting and damage, whether it's Rochester, New York City, L.A., or cities across the country, and say, well, that's exactly what this is about. It's just lawlessness. They don't care about reform, and they're going to paint the entire movement, which is largely peaceful, with that brush. Are you worried about that, Lavelle?
Yeah, very, very much so. I think what gets lost within the context of these social issues, especially when you're dealing with police brutality, a lot of folks, unless you've gone through the system personally with understanding how it works, for me, I base a lot of my decisions off of experience. I don't wear this as like a badge of honor, but I've lost two brothers within this system. Okay, I lost a brother in 2006. My brother Rodnell Hartsock was shot and killed by a man, a Black man. Okay, he died, and he served more time for the weapon than he did the actual crime itself. Okay, so this is the justice. It wasn't a police officer, but it was the system itself. Okay, and then I also lost another brother in 2017, Devon Lewis. He was brutally killed mentally. He had mental health issues at the wrong place at the wrong time. And a minority man came behind him with a crowbar, beat him to death in broad daylight on the corner of Dewey and Emerson. And so this wasn't by the hands of a police officer. This was a systematic issue within our own society, being inhumane to another individual. Now, when you talk about law enforcement, it's that same thing. Like, you can't ex- you have to realize that these men and women that put their lives on the line for us every single day are regular human beings. And until you get yourself, put yourself in that position to make a decision instantly, right? You have a 50-50% chance of getting this one situation right. And we all know there are bad apples out there. We know there are bad apples, bad police officers. But shaking hands with the police chief yesterday and to see his leadership amongst not just this situation, but numerous situations, just recently with the video camera with the, you know, the protesters at in front of, you know, the police station. I respect the job that they do because it's a hard job. We as blacks in our community have to understand we have to hold ourselves accountable for the actions that we do as well. It's been something that has been within our communities for years and years, going back to the early 1900s. A lot of our you know, black intellectuals during that time, like Booker T. Washington, he always spoke about holding yourselves accountable. So we have a job as well. We have a job as well, and we need our law enforcement. I don't agree with total anarchy. What are you going to do? What's the next system? What's your end game? Is what I ask those people.
Well, and I'll jump in and just say we are going to talk to people who have thought seriously about that and feel like we're at a breaking point. Danielle Ponder, where are you on this? Are you worried that that this moment, as the governor says, could be lost, or do you think that we're on the cusp of actual change?
I would like to believe we're on the cusp of actual change. I mean, I disagree with the governor. There's the suggestion that people who were once true believers in racial justice will no longer be true believers because of the looting. If the actions of a minority of the people who were at that protest stop your fight for racial justice, I believe that you never were in that fight to begin with. We've had riots in 64, we had riots in 1992, and now we have riots in 2020. And so these have always been a part of these movements. We don't condone the violence, and obviously I was part of a peaceful protest. It was really one of the most beautiful things that I've been to in Rochester, and I was really sad to see where it turned. But I think if we focus on the looting, we are completely missing the point that there has to be systemic change within our police department. And we have to ask ourselves, why was it so easy for those young people, as the mayor said, to fall into that trap? It was so easy for them to fall into that trap because they don't live in a community that they can have a sense of pride for. They don't live in a space where they believe that they have something to live for. They are living in mass inequity, mass poverty. So let's get to the root of the problem, Evan. If I punch someone and they push me back, we don't focus on the push, we focus on the punch. So we need to get to the root of the problem as opposed to focusing on the symptom of the disease.
And before I turn to Jonathan, then, if you feel like we are at a moment of change, what is an example of a tangible change that you think can be achieved?
You know, this has really been interesting for me. I honestly tend to be more cynical, but I do see more people across the spectrum talking about the officers being held accountable for George Floyd's murder. So I think that one thing that I'm hoping is going to happen is some real conversation about police reform. And one thing the governor talked today about the use of excessive force, but also looking at our own cities and how we proactively police the black communities. I think rolling back proactive policing is probably a smart idea because that tends to lead to create situations that get escalated, right? We have African-American youth being stopped for minor offenses. That does not happen in white communities. The type of policing we have in black communities is so drastically different, and it's more likely to lead to issues that escalate. And so I do think that the conversation is changing where people are really considering rethinking and reimagining policing. But to me, the looting is the least of our concerns, honestly. We're talking about hundreds of years of injustice. And if we lost a couple stores or a few stores, that is the least that America can pay for its sins. We really have to focus on the root issue here.
Danielle, what do you think of the police abolition calls?
I personally believe that we need to reimagine our police force. I'm not a police abolitionist, but I do believe that we need reform within our system.
Jonathan Nithketha, do you think we're at a moment of actual achievable change?
If we allow ourselves to be there. I think, you know, as and first of all, to Danielle and to Lavelle, appreciate being in the virtual room with you both. And all of the things that have been shared are just that they work for me. But when you think about the excuses, if people are looking for an excuse, they're going to find one. If they're looking for an excuse to turn away from the ugliness that they see in the mirror, then they're going to take that excuse and run with it. And everything that happened this weekend, it seems like folks will focus on the part that they want the most. Mm-hmm. We can make the change. It just depends if we feel like it and if we feel compelled enough to do so. And unfortunately, because there are disparities, not in just the way in which we live, but in the way in which we perceive and experience the world around us, that many of us are looking at the same thing and seeing having completely different outcomes. We're experiencing the same thing in different ways, and we're not aligning our individual visions to have a clarity of purpose for our community. It starts with what happened on Saturday, where there is a community that follows the lead of women underrepresented minorities and queer people of color, and they follow that lead to create a movement of love, of understanding, of reflection, of togetherness. And that movement continued to move. And as it moved from MLK Plaza down to police headquarters, it moved from police headquarters. Now, the people who stayed behind, they didn't keep up with that movement. And I want the rest of the community to keep up with that movement, because then Lavelle brought that movement back the following morning, as well as the rest of the leadership and the folks who over 2,000 people who came there. There are more people there than there were outside of the police headquarters with all of that energy and that negativity. We're going to follow what we're going to follow, and we have the choice. So my call is for us to choose the leadership and choose the steps that are already being shown, that those are the things that matter.
Real briefly here, because I want, again, to stress to listeners, we're going to cover both hours on this this subject today, and we'll be talking about this and having this community conversation all week and, of course, beyond. But I'm thinking of three pieces of video. First of all, that bizarre video from Minneapolis the first night of their real widespread demonstrations, in which a white man wearing a black suit and a black gas mask took a hammer and was just knocking out windows in an AutoZone. And you had black demonstrators telling him stop, and he mm-hmm. wouldn't stop, and he threatened them. Well, he left. Then there's a video of two white women who are tagging a Starbucks, and you had black organizers saying, please don't do this. We're not asking you to do this. And they would not stop. And then you had video in D.C. yesterday of a white male dressed in all black who self-identified as Antifa, who was using a hammer to try to break up parts of the pavement so people could have things to throw at police. And finally, a group of black activists surrounded him and basically dragged him off the street and said, don't ruin this moment here. Now, those are sort of generalizations, but Jonathan, briefly, Thomas Chatterton Williams is a writer who says, we have this idea that the word looting means black, and I'm sick of it. And he's been linking to these videos saying a lot of these moments are sort of co-opted here. Do you see it that way, Jonathan? I mean, is this an important moment to kind of realize some of the stereotyping that we've allowed ourselves to feel for so long?
Yes, the notion that those instigators and, you know, that they are they can do something, that when they make that, they take that first hit and then they leave, who's left to deal with just not just the damage, but the blame for it? So black people bear the burden of it. The people in our community are bearing the burden of those choices and those decisions and those people who started it. But that term loot, the term thug, which has been thrown around cavalierly all the time and has continued to have this underlying tone of and kind of that dog whistle of, well, this means a black person. And we're not being clear with what we're saying, but we're speaking volumes. Look, the looting, the rioting, that wasn't a riot on Saturday. I follow the protesters. I want to follow that group of people who had the spirit, who wants to change things. If you want to look at those who are destroying property, if you want to look at those who are instigating, then find them, hold them accountable, and make the examples of them. But it's completely irresponsible to blame the youth when the youth are striving to be heard in a variety of ways. They're striving to have their voices acknowledged and recognized. And this is within our community and then outside of it. And to the point of their value, if the youth don't find that anyone else values their lives, then they will act accordingly. And our youth are going to lead us. I promise you, they will lead us to the next level if we incorporate them in what we do. And it just so happens that these antagonizers are incorporating our youth into their energies, into their negativity, and our youth are bearing the brunt of it.
And we're going to lose Lavelle Lewis at the top of the hour. So let me just squeeze in a question for Lavelle. You know, Mayor Warren on that note is saying, you know, let's focus on the change we need. Let's not get baited by people who don't care about this movement and want to be opportunistic and use it, even if that means destruction. Do you agree with the mayor in that way, Lavelle?
I do. And I kind of see where, you know, we look at today's society and how we all receive information, how we get information. A lot of it, you know, we can point the fingers at a lot of aspects of why people do what they do, right? So, you know, with today's world and how we all receive information, there's a lot of misinformation that's getting out there that's informing people and that's creating this resentment within their consciousness that this, I need to react this way without getting the full context of what's really going on. You know, a lot of people, a lot of media outlets use these words to, you know, create some sort of reaction so that people are reading, so that people are watching. And a lot of times with these little quick situations, we don't get the full context of what's going on. So when you have a situation like this, like I can only imagine where someone who's not really as engaged in the actual narrative as you would expect or hope, if they see someone like just like you mentioned, a bunch of white people out there causing these damages and these looting, it's like, wait a minute, what's really going on? And like, who are these people? How are they funded? Why are they doing what they do? What purpose do they have to the Black Lives Matter movement? Because just like what Jonathan said, you have to choose who you want to, or who you choose to follow. You have to follow the right energy, the right moments, the right movement. And I think what our people is having a problem with is trying to find that information that they need to make that correct conscious decision. Because this, if Martin Luther King was living today, I'm pretty sure his message would be more along the lines of Lovely Warren. So a lot of people are on the right side of it. And just like, again, what we were talking about from yesterday, the amount of people that came out in droves to come out and help. Okay. There was nothing about where are you from? Who are you? No, this was people coming together, black, white, brown. And we were able to go out into our community, sweep it up within a matter of hours. And just real quick before I do go, Deborah stated that the damage that was done was minimal. Well, there are a lot of people who are feeding their families within this community and also feeding this community. And this damage, yes, we think about the big ballers like Walmart, Walgreens, etc. Yes, they're okay, but
yeah, I hear you, Lavelle. I take that point. I was there, you know, as part of that group, and I'm not saying it for myself. I mean, like, I was a resident who just wanted to be there and was really moved by the organizational spirit. Thanks, by the way. Thank you, Lavelle, for that. And thanks for taking time to jump on the program with us today.
No problem. No problem. Thank you for having me. And guys, good luck. Stay safe. And just, you know, keep staying strong and fighting. You know, we're all in this together. This is not a me against you or us against them. Like, we gotta solve these issues together. And I think we can.
Well, Lavelle was a volunteer organizer for the weekend cleanup efforts, and we're going to continue this conversation in the next hour. Listeners, if you want to join the conversation, plenty of opportunities to do that right here on Connections.